opening to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm going to be looking in verses 12 to 20 today, and I'll plan to deal with these verses, and I'll read them as we go down and expound each one of them. But before we do, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, how wonderful it is this morning to be able to be together, your people, meeting in your name. Oh, the fellowship that we enjoy, being able to call upon you. I ask you this morning, Lord, would you bless the service? Would you help us to worship? Would you teach us? We ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. I've actually broken this message into two parts. I've entitled it The Lord's Witness of Himself. And I'm going to preach, or plan to, part one, and then, Lord willing, next week, preach the second part. But in our last study, the Lord was teaching the people, and the scribes and Pharisees, the Scripture says, interrupted Him. They just had no regard, no respect. That's man by nature. No respect of God. And they had found a woman that they had taken in the very act of adultery. And they brought her in the midst, just put her right there in the middle of those that our Lord was speaking to. And they just, their arrogance, they said, Moses says that we ought to stone this woman. What do you say? Well, they knew they had him. Well, they thought they knew they had him. If he said stone her, like the law of Moses said that she's supposed to be, they would accuse him then of not being a friend of sinners, like he said he was. But if he said let her go, then they're going to accuse him of being a lawbreaker. And our Lord, who knew what they were doing, He spoke, and He said this. He said, the one that is among you that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Now you remember this. The ones that actually witnessed the event, whenever someone was caught, whoever witnessed, under two or three witnesses. As I've said before, did you ever wonder why it was two or three? Two or three. Well, if it was two, and they, you know, agreed, well, then that's fine. That's two witnesses. But if there was two that had kind of a conflicting story, a third one would substantiate, and the two that agreed, as far as that was the reason. So they had to have a witness. Couldn't be just one. Had to be two witnesses that agreed. Well, they found this woman. They caught her. I mean, she was caught in the very act. And the witness that caught her, the witnesses, they would cast the first stone. That was the law. The Lord says, well, the one that is among you that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, obviously, there was none among the number of the scribes and Pharisees that was without sin. The only one that stood in their midst that was without sin was Almighty God. And He stood right before them. Well, they were convicted in their hearts. They knew that there was that which condemned them. And the scripture says that they began to leave. The eldest began to leave first, and then all of them left. Well, now the scribes and the Pharisees are gone. And now the woman is gone because the Lord told her. When he asked her, he said, "Is there any that condemn you? Where are thine accusers?" "No man accuses me, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And we looked at that passage, how that woman, as a picture of the bride of Christ, that, if you want to know, as we said last week, if you want to know what the bride of Christ is in herself, look at that adulterous woman. That's all of us by nature. And we saw where our Lord had stooped, how He had stooped to be made flesh first, raised Himself up upon the cross, stooped that second time, being made sin, died under the judgment of God, buried, and then that second time He raised Himself up, a picture of resurrection glory. And all that He had everlastingly loved were raised with Him, justified in Him. And now all of the hope that this woman had was in Him that stood before her, the only one that had the right to cast the first stone. This is the judge. But in His mercy and compassion, this woman had no condemnation. He showed mercy to her. Now this morning I want us to look and pick up right where we left off. We stopped at verse 11. And I want us this morning to look at verses 12 to 20 on our Lord's witness of Himself. Now there's seven things, of which I'd like to just look at three of them this morning, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, who He has declared Himself to be. Here's the first thing, verse 1. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now to understand exactly the meaning of light, "I am the light of the world." We look at 1 John 1:4. This just chapter. Here's what it says. I'll read it to you. "In Him was life. In Christ was life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." The illumination, the understanding, light in this scripture right here. "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." Light here is the source of, the foundation of, spiritual understanding. I am the light of the world. There's no life, whether it be physical or spiritual, I tell you, there's no life, there's no light, except from Almighty God Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no understanding. Even for an unbeliever, anything that they know, anything that they understand, you know that they were made by God Almighty. He is the Creator. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So everything being created by Almighty God, He is the source of it. I am the light of the world. And the life, John 1:4 said, was the light of men. The scripture sets forth that Christ Himself is the understanding. Now you think about, as He talked to these people, And they resent him. There's no love for him. And he's speaking to them and he's telling them, I am the totality of all understanding. They're listening. He knows them. I am the light. Everything that men behold, not merely physically, but everything that men know spiritually, I am the source of that. Spiritual light is divine knowledge. And here the Lord sets forth and tells them, if there's any to be had, I give it. I disperse it. I impart it. Here is the one that was prophesied of Isaiah, Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Light. Spiritual light. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4:3. Now, as we've said before, if you want to understand how things are, what does the Scripture say? If you want to know how things are, not what men say, not what men think, what does the Word of God say? 2 Corinthians 4:3-6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. That means we don't preach ourselves as being the source of light. Honor is not to ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our Lord is the light. Back in John 8, our Lord, verse 12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. My, what a promise. He that followeth, I can't get past ever. I think about that statement Brother Henry said at ETH. He that followeth and followeth and followeth. He that endures to the end. He that continues. He that followeth me. Not man's works of righteousness. Not the creations of man's imagination. He that followeth me, he that believes on me, he that trusts me continually, coming to me by faith. And let me just inject this. How many times have you found yourself? We walk by faith, not by feeling. If our feelings is what dictated where we stand, I'm just afraid we'd be in a world of hurt. Because there's times that our feelings are deceptive. I just don't feel like that. And I struggle with myself. I told you, struggling to pray. Struggling to ask. Struggling to seek. I think about Peter They'd been fishing all night, and the Lord said, "Did you catch anything?" No. No. He said, "Well, cast your net on the other side of the ship." And Peter, I think about those words. "Lord, we fished all night." Probably caught himself pretty quickly on that statement, don't you think? But Lord, it's your word. It's your word. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." They shall not live and follow after the dictates of rebellion against God. Now, listen, I'm telling you, think of the promise. "He that followeth me," if any man, any woman follows after Christ, they do so by the grace of God. "And they shall not," they shall not walk in the darkness of the unregenerate. They shall not. I mean, what an emphatic statement. Almighty God purposed it, ordained it, and brought it to pass. They're not going to walk. Why? Because He keeps them. He keeps them. Keeps them by power. Keeps them by grace. Keeps them by mercy and compassion. How many times have I had this scripture go through my mind? "Lord, if you marked iniquity, who could stand? Lord, this frail creature of dust, thank you that you don't leave me to myself." Those that follow after him that shall not walk in darkness, they were blind. But now they see. And they know whom they have believed. And they're persuaded. They don't walk in the darkness of rebellion. Darkness of tradition. They walk in the truth of the glory of Almighty God as He set forth in the gospel of God's free grace. "He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have." He shall have. The light of life. They shall have Christ. They shall have Him. He's theirs. And they're His. And there's communion. And there's fellowship. And I'm telling you, the closer they draw to Him by the grace of God, the more they see of themselves, and the more they realize their need of Him. Lord, help me. 1 John 5:20 says this, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that we may know Him." That is true. "Even His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life." I was going over my notes this morning and read that scripture again. And a word jumped out at me. I read this, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding that we may know Him." That's a word of permission. The Lord had told a group of people, He said, "No man can come." Now that's talking about ability. No man has the ability to come except the Father which has sent me draw him. But here, John says, "We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that we may know Him." Yes, you may. You know, remember as a child you'd raise your hand. Well, you may. That means you got my permission to do so. "That we may know Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ." This is the true God. This is eternal life. So the first thing that we know concerning Him is that He is the light of the world. He is the illumination. He's the understanding. Anything you know of Almighty God that is consistent with these scriptures, God taught you. God taught you that. How did you learn it? He taught you. Verse 13 to 15 says, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record's not true." Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come, and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." You see, these Pharisees thought that his record of being the light of the world was false, because, in their opinion, he was bearing record totally of himself. Now, same thing about the woman that was taken. Had to be more than one. Had to be more than one witness. Can't be just one. Now your record, they said, your record is not true. Because, they said, you're just bearing record of yourself. Well, the Lord answered them by declaring his record was true. And their ignorance of his origin didn't change the fact that his record was true. Now, here he speaks of his oneness, his equality with the Father, the one that also bears record of him. He says of the Father, "He spoke." The Father bore witness of Christ from heaven. His miracles bore witness of him. John the Baptist bore witness of him. You're speaking only of himself. No. He said, "You judge after the flesh, according to the outward appearance. You're judging by what you can see." He said, "I judge no man," that is, in that manner. He is Almighty God. He knows the heart. And He sees things as they are. I want you to turn back to John 2, 24-25. John 2, 24-25. Now let's read 23. John 2, verse 23-25. "Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." If you remember, that word in verse 24, "commit," is the same word as "believed" in verse 23. Many believed in His name. And the Scripture says in verse 24, the Lord didn't believe them. He didn't believe them. He knew what was in man. Almighty God does not judge after the flesh, after what's seen with the eye, how things appear. He knows the heart. So here's the second revelation of Himself. He's not alone. Those Pharisees spoke and said of Him, "Your record is not true." He says, "I judge not only of myself." Here's the second point. It's in verse 16. "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." His truth is truth because He is Almighty God. He judges according to His oneness with the Father. One time He was forsaken. He said in verse 16, "I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." I'm not alone. One time, He cried from the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It does not matter how our little fickle mind tries to understand the Lord of glory being forsaken of God and not being alone. John 16:32 proves this. You say, well, he was by himself. He was alone one time. John 16:32 says this, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." They will leave him alone. "And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me." How can God Almighty forsake His only begotten Son, and He's not alone? Because He said He's not. They accused Him and His witness as being false. They said, "You're bearing witness totally of yourself." He said, "No, I'm not. I'm not alone. My Father, which is with me." John 8:17-18, "It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me." Here our Lord rebukes those that claiming to know the law. The ones that says that He's bearing witness of Himself. And now our Lord sets forth the record of His Father with Him. But with their next question, here He is. He's the light of the world. That's the first thing He reveals Himself. Second thing He reveals of Himself, "I'm not alone. The Father that sent me is with me." Here's the third thing. We'll stop after this. This question concerning our Lord and Savior. Verse 19. "Then said they unto Him," when He told them, He said, "The Father that sent me bears witness of me." "Then said they unto Him, Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." So here's the third thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Him is to know the Father. Now the only father that they thought that He had was Joseph, which was not His father. And seeing Him by faith, according to our Lord's words, is to see the Father. Beholding the faithfulness of Christ's obedience is to see and to know the Father who demanded obedience for His elect. Seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as the substitute at Calvary was to see and to know the Father's justice in putting away sin for all that He had everlastingly loved and gave the Son. Seeing the resurrected Lord is to see and know the Father's acceptance of His sacrifice. Let me give you an example. Hopefully I can make good on what I just said. To see Him. This is what He said. This is the third point He revealed Himself. He said, "You don't know my Father. You don't know me. If you knew me, you'd know my Father. You see me, you see my Father." I got four kids. One of them's here this morning. Four children. As I raised and tried to raise my children, my hope, my desire was to teach them, to instill in them what I sought, what I wanted, what I demanded for respect. Respect before me, respect before their mother, respect before other people, obedience. Obedience. If I told them something, I meant it. And I would desire that as the children were coming up, being raised, that when people saw the way that they acted, they would see, you know, that's what their mom and dad demands. He's his dad made over. See what I'm saying? Respectful, obedient, kind. The Lord said, if you knew me, you'd know my Father. You see, the respect that I give him, that's what he demands. You see, my obedience before him, that's what he demands. You see, me upon the cross, he demands justice. You see me, you see my Father. I and my Father are one. If you had known me in regenerating grace, you should have known my Father also. As the sovereign, electing God Almighty. And the Scripture says, verse 20, and here we'll end, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. It was not the will of the Father. They resented him. They despised him. They called him a liar. And he set forth himself. I am the light. I am the illumination of this world. Anything that you know, anything that you behold by faith, I taught you that. I'm not alone. I don't bear witness of myself. My Father bears witness of me. My Father sent me. And if you want to know what the Father demands, if you want to know what the Father expects, you look at me. If you'd known me, you'd know my Father. Because I do always only those things that please Him. If there's any hope for a sinner, look to Him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts for Christ's sake.